It's time for North Posey Viking Basketball. Tonight's broadcast on 98.9 WPIW and North Posey Radio.
We look at everybody else's schedule, and I think we had five games. That was our fifth game, and it was Mount Vernon's second or third. I think Heritage is going to be their second game of the season. I think there's still some teams out there. I think Evansville Memorial still haven't played a game yet. So, you know, we wanted to get games in early, get them as many reps as we could, and start to build off that. That's something we push, is climbing the ladder. You mentioned it earlier, just getting better every game, and we talked about taking that next step. So, you know, it was a good chance for us to do that early and try to get these guys, especially young guys, some experience quickly.
Speaking of young guys getting experience, is there anybody in particular that stood out to you here in the early portion of the season that either might be coming on here soon or has already kind of made their presence known?
Braden Compton. I mean, he's been starting for us, but, you know, he's a sophomore. He's a shy kid, not real aggressive. So we worried about how he would start playing some of the competition we're playing, and as aggressive as they are. And, you know, I think he was shell-shocked there the first couple games. I was joking with you. He looked like he was about to vomit right before tip-off in the Central game. But he really came in his own here the last couple games, and guys are starting to look for him a little bit, and he's looking to score it. And obviously he was the one that slipped that screen to lay it in to win the game on Friday. So, you know, I think he is. If he's coming along, Peyton Seymour has stepped in and put some big minutes in, had a couple huge charges. The Boonville game took a big charge down near to basically seal the win, and had another one again on Friday. So defensively, he's kind of stepped up. Offensively, scoring a little bit. But, you know, those two guys have been a good job working both sides of the floor and helping us.
So with you guys coming off this three-game stretch, you have basically a full week of practice before you play Heritage Hills on Friday. What are some things you guys are working on, or specifically even today, what did you guys focus on?
Come is brought to you by Expressway Chevrolet, the Posey County Co-op, Crane Credit Union, Posey Storage, Expressway Jeep, JT's Hardware, Billy's Sparkle and Shine, Nick's Industrial, and the Poseyville Auto Parts and Service Center.
Welcome into the North Posey Vikings Basketball Coaches Show, our first edition of the 2024-2025 season. Jordan Fisher here with head coach of the boys basketball team, Rusty Seymour, and we'll be joined by the girls basketball head coach, Kevin Kolb, later on in the second segment, as we're going to get a chance to talk about North Posey boys and girls basketball throughout the season. We'll try to make sure we get both coaches on every single week as long as schedules align that way, and that's going to be the goal. But here with head coach Rusty Seymour, and coach, you guys are on a little bit of a win streak now after getting two losses to start the season against two very good opponents, both on the road at Evansville Central and Washington. You guys got the ship righted against Boonville here in your home opener, and then have since rattled off three straight.
Yeah, you know, it's good to get back on a winning streak. When you open on the road against two tough teams, people start to question some things. And, you know, especially in the locker room, the boys start to get down on themselves and not trust the process as much. So it's been nice to kind of turn that thing around and get three in a row.
And we talked about it a couple weeks ago whenever we did the interview at Viking Madness, that you were going to have some changes being made to your team. You lost a lot of senior leadership last season, a lot of production in your starting five. You mentioned some players are going to have to play some new roles. I know you mentioned Noah Kester playing more point guard. How do you feel like his – I want to start with him. How do you feel like his adjustment has been as far as taking over the point guard duties of this team?
Yeah, I mean, he's learning. It's tough because, you know, on a schedule, you know, you look at Central and Washington in particular, those first two losses, both teams have really, really good guards and point guards in general. But they were hounding him the whole time. So we kind of took him off the ball a little bit because he was getting pressure full court and nobody else was. So, you know, we let Ethan Mansfield and Austin bring it up. But he's learning, trial by fire, I guess, as you call it. So he's dealing with the pressure. He's doing a good job. A few turnovers here and there, but that's to be expected when you have the ball in your hand as much as a point guard does. So he is figuring it out. Had a real good game on Friday. So hoping he's turning the page here a little bit.
Yeah, so you guys start with the loss at Central, and I think this will probably be your season low for the year, I would think, with 33 points. Certainly a bit of an adjustment there. But what did you take away from that game? Because you guys had a much better outing against Washington. Now you guys still lost again, and wins and losses are what matters. But you also, I think, take the mindset of you want to get better day by day. So between games one and two and then again three, what did you see as the biggest range of improvement from the first game to that first win?
Ball handling. You know, Central was super athletic. Probably, I would say they're probably top couple teams on our schedule. And they were just physical. They got after it, you know, full court. They didn't let anybody off the hook. And we struggled to put the ball in the basket, you know, being that first game as well. And guys not used to that kind of speed and varsity basketball in general, it, I think, was an eye-opening experience for them. So I hope you're right. I hope 33 is the low for the year. But, you know, they've done a good job in responding to Washington going up there. Obviously another tough place to play, but scored the ball a little better. And I think a lot of that was because we were not turning the ball over so much.
Well, and the wins you had this season so far against Boonville to open it up, 44-36. You really won these games in a variety of ways. You went on the road at Evansville Day School, won 62-35, and we were talking about it before we got on the air. You got off to a little bit of a slower start than you would have liked in that game, which you ended up pulling away. But then you went a very tightly contested, going down to the very last second matchup against rival Mount Vernon, who certainly still has some talent on their squad. You got to feel good after winning those three games in a row like that.
Yeah. I don't know why I scheduled three games in a week to begin with. You know, that's dumb on my part, but I do think it was good for us. It was good to get the boys some experience. And so not a lot of time to prep for those, but like you said, Mount Vernon, you know, we were worried about that, especially going down there. They always play us tough down in Mount Vernon. So it is a good win. It was one that we thought was going to be tough to get this season. So it surprised us a little bit to pull out of that one.
Well, I don't know if you intentionally did this or not, but it's a little bit of a sectional type of style matchup. I mean, you have the three games in a single week. Now, you would play more Tuesday, Friday, Saturday would be the goal versus, I think, what was that, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. But at the same time, it's three games and, you know, 4 days that you have to quickly make your adjustments and go one thing to another. And you'll have a couple stretches like that throughout the season. But we've talked about it before. The biggest thing is just getting these kids ready to play whenever it comes tournament time.
Yeah, and that's more of what it was just trying to get their legs underneath of them and get them as much experience as we could.
During your practice sessions.
Yeah, we're focused on defense. You know, that's always a thing of ours. And I told them, actually, when we were breaking to go home, was, I feel like our scores are low. You know, we're keeping guys in the 30s and 40s, but I'm still not pleased with the way we're executing. Our rotation seems slow. Our closeouts are bad. We've just been fortunate that guys haven't hit those shots yet. But we need to clean it up to make sure that we're not getting no shots in final. So, you know, we're always defensive focused. We try to split our practices the better we can and get some shots up. But in fact, now we're trying to clean up the defensive side.
So whenever you're talking about that, not only the ball and executions, but have you guys had any issues with foul trouble to this point of the season? Or do you feel like the kids have done a pretty good job of staying out of foul trouble, despite being maybe that half a step slow on defense?
Yeah, no, we actually been okay. Mansfield gotten a little bit of a bind on Friday. I probably could have put him back in. He had two in the second quarter, you know, and that's always a tough spot. You got to really trust the kid to put him back in, that he's not going to get a third. But where we were at score-wise, I just looked for the it. So defensively, though, you know, for the most part, knock on wood, we haven't had too big of an issue with that, which – honestly, was something I was afraid of. So hopefully that can be good.
And speaking of Ethan, we talked about him briefly too in the, I guess you could call it the preseason coaches show, whenever we were at Viking Madness, and he had a big role change going from kind of the energy guy to more of one of the mainstays in the starting lineup and really more of a glue guy than anything. How do you feel like he's done adjusting to that new kind of role where he's being relied upon a lot more than he was last season?
Yeah, early in the season, he was good. I think he was – I don't know what his average is off the top of my head, but I think he's probably around 6, 8, 10 points. And, again, we haven't scored the ball very well, so none of our numbers were going to be real high. But he early he was – offensively, he was doing well. Defensively, he is everybody's best. So, you know, you tend to get tired and get a little gas there in the fourth quarter. So offense kind of suffered a bit. I will say one thing about Raheem. Well, in fact, we won a game on Friday where he had 1 point. So we had our top three scorers only had 5 points at halftime, and we were only down two. So those other guys stepped up, and we've been able to get some scoring with other guys. So it's been nice. But as far as Ethan and what he's done, you know, he's taken that leadership role very seriously and done a good job of making sure we're all where we need to be.
Of course, I think Austin Schmidt is probably the most notable name on this team as far as somebody that's a returning starter from last year, leading scorer. This season, he was certainly one of your top scorers last year. All night, he finishes the top scorer, and I know he was right there with Jackson. But how do you think he's done this year as far as kind of being the guy, as far as being one of the guys?
Yeah, I think he's done a good job. You know, we stress team basketball. And as much as you have to have a guy that's going to be your leading scorer and kind of be that dude, we want him passing the ball just as much as he's shooting it. So, you know, he is doing well. He's obviously our leading scorer. He probably will be. But at the end of the game on Friday, he was the one that passed the ball to Braden because he was getting double teamed. So, you know, those are the things that we look for him. He's always going to find points. I mean, he's just super talented. And
he's a crafty scorer for sure.
Yeah, he's good at getting to the basket or at least getting to the free throw line. So he's going to get his as he shares the ball. I try to explain to him the more he shares it, the more he's going to be open. So he's starting to take that part a little bit and, you know, won us a game on Friday. So
that's one area I was getting ready to bring up too, with the free throw shooting and the stats that you give at the moment. It looks like you guys are averaging right about 8 to 9 free throw attempts per game, which seems kind of low for traditionally how your style of teams like to play as far as getting the ball inside the paint and trying to initiate that contact. How do you feel about that? Do you feel like there's a situation there where you might be an opportunity to get to the line a little bit more or maybe settle less for jump shots, or what's your analysis there as the coach?
Yeah, you know, I'm not happy with it. That's one thing we've talked about and we pushed last week. I think the Central game, we were 1 for 4. And that tells me just how non-aggressive they were. They were settling for jump shots. They weren't trying to get to the rim. And it is something that we try to do. We want to be the more physical team as much as we can. We kind of invite that kind of play. We want a slower play, slower pace, more physical game to where we can take the best shot possible. And even if we're not, we're getting fouled and getting to the free throw line. So I think we had 11 on Friday against Mount Vernon. We were 10 for 11. And, you know, those are the kind of numbers I like to see. I would like to be double digits for sure.
Anytime you score 10 of your 49 points in a victory, I think that's a pretty good percentage of your points that you get from the charity stripe. So now let's focus on the upcoming opponent. You only have one over really the next 2 full weeks. Is you have Heritage Hills at home, and then you'll have Modern Day at home on the 20th before you play Crawford County again at home on the 21st. So there you'll have a back-to-back sequence next weekend, I should say the weekend after that. But this coming weekend, you only have the one game against Heritage Hills. So you guys have a lot of time to focus on them. What have you seen on film from them this season, especially now that Trent Sisley exits? It's a little bit of a different ball club for them too now.
Well, unfortunately, we haven't got to see anything. Their first game is tomorrow.
Oh,
so because of the
Heritage. Because they went to football. Yeah. They went to state. That makes sense.
So they're playing their, I think it's North Harrison tomorrow on Tuesday. So we're going to travel up there and watch them play. And maybe try to get a little bit of a scout. We've, you know, you hear rumblings here and there. We heard the Meredith kid may not be playing. That would be huge for us. It's one less guy to guard, but you never know until you go up there and watch him. So we're going to go scout. Gives us a chance as a coaching staff to hang out and watch a little basketball too. So
that's an interesting aspect that I just thought about when you said that, because Hunter Meredith just got done playing in the state championship game. Mm-hmm. And you have to hit, I believe it's 10 practices. It's still 10 practices to be able to play varsity.
Well, if you play a fall sport, I think it's like 5.
Okay. So anyway, so you have to get that little practice window. You experienced that last year, that the football team going to state. So how was that different for you as a coach, and how do you think that's different for Coach Nate Hawkins at Heritage Hills with that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how many guys he has coming back from the actual football squad, but we had several, a couple starters in particular with Jackson Graff and Liam Stone. So it kind of affected our practices a little bit, and I absolutely hated it. I mean, I like practices. You know, as a coach, that's where you get better, but I didn't. It's too much practice. Like, you just want to go play games. So it is different. You know, we kind of handled it. We gave the guys a few days off, went a little lighter on some days and focused on different aspects of the game. But, you know, with him, Meredith is one of, I think him and the Gray Boy are both really, really good. And I think could probably be problems for us. So I don't know how he handles it. Hopefully not well, so we can be successful, but, you know, it'd be tough. It's tough, you know, to get through practices, especially several weeks of them, because those other kids are still practicing since early November. So, you know, it's a lot of practice time.
I can certainly understand that, because at some point you want to get the game repetitions. You can't only keep scrimmaging against your same, you know, squad in inter-squad scrimmage or whatever for too terribly long. So then last thing I guess I'll ask here then. So with you having that a little bit of an unknown at Heritage Hills, you're going to be able to go watch and play tomorrow at North Harrison. Do you think it's a bit of a unique opportunity to maybe have the kids learn on the fly as far as making an adjustment, as far as, you know, we don't have a great, huge, you know, in-depth game plan for this team, but you're going to see them possibly down the line again. But anyway, you won't see them again, but they present an opportunity and a challenge for your kids to be able to kind of adjust to a quicker game plan.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And you know, we'll treat it just like it was game one with Central, to where you don't have a bunch of information. You know, we'll have a little bit of a report on them. We'll know who the starters are probably. But you don't have anything to go off of other than that North Shadow income. So, you know, it'll be limited information, but like we said, it's good for them to have to make adjustments and learn on the fly, and treat it like you would maybe a second half of the game, because that's typically when teams will make adjustments on you, and you know, that's something we got to be better at anyway. So,
all right, well, thanks, Coach, for joining me, and hopefully talk to you next Monday, and maybe it'll be after a win against Heritage Hills. I think that'd be a pretty good feeling, right?
Man, I hope so.
That was head coach Rusty Seymour of the North Posey boys basketball team. We'll step away for a timeout. We'll come back. We'll get head coach Kevin Cole with the girls basketball team coming up next. This is the North Posey Vikings Basketball Coaches Show live from North Posey.
Attention Mount Vernon. Whether you're fixing up your home, firing up the grill, or taking care of your farm, the Posey County Co-op is the place to be. We're proud to offer a wide selection of Milwaukee tools, perfect for any project. And for those of you who love to grill, check out our top-of-the-line pellet grills and smokers, ideal for your next cookout. But that's not all. We've got animal feed, farm supplies, lawn and garden products, propane, pet supplies, and so much more. From hardware to birdseed, we have everything you need to keep things running smoothly. Visit us at the Posey County Co-op in Mount Vernon. Open to the public Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday from 7 a.m. till noon. Your local co-op, ready to serve.
Expressway Chevrolet GMC is family-owned and located on the corner of Highway 62 and 69 in Mount Vernon, Indiana. The dealership was built on the principle that every vehicle buying experience should be easy but fun for the whole family. Our award-winning service department has 26 bays, 11 technicians, with 5 of them world-class. Sales is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Inventory is arriving daily, so remember to shop us before you shop anywhere else, and visit us 24/7 at expresswaychevrolet.com, Mount Vernon, Indiana.
This is Justin Schmidt, Regional Manager for Crane Credit Union in Posey County. I want to remind you that Crane Credit Union is committed to serving Posey County. With 3 locations, familiar faces, and local decisions, we are able to offer cutting-edge products and services that you want, along with hometown feel that you deserve. When you become a member at Crane Credit Union, you're helping to support this community and the schools and organizations that matter to you. Visit us in person at one of our local branches in Poseyville, Mount Vernon, or St. Wendell, or online at cranecu.org to find out how easy it is to join. Crane Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA, an equal housing lender.
When you need to eliminate clutter at home but don't know what to do, call Posey Storage in Poseyville. Posey Storage has 3 unit sizes to fit your needs: 5 by 12 feet, 10 by 12 feet, and massive 12 by 35 foot units. Posey Storage can also help you out with boat, RV, and camper storage as well, with inside and outside units available. For rental information, call 812-622-1626. Posey Storage, 128 North St. Francis Street in Poseyville.
Looking for a new ride, or is it time to give your current car the care it deserves? At Expressway Jeep, we've got you covered. Whether you're shopping for the latest Jeep, Chrysler, Dodge, or Ram models, or need reliable service, we're your one-stop shop. Check out our amazing deals on quality new and pre-owned vehicles. And when it's time for maintenance, our certified technicians are ready to keep your vehicle running like new. Visit us today or check us out online at expressway jeep.com. Expressway Jeep, Chrysler, Dodge, Ram in Mount Vernon, Indiana.
J.D.'s Hardware on Main Street in Poseyville. When you're ready to tackle your next home improvement project, look no further than JT's Hardware, your one-stop shop on Main Street in Poseyville. JT's Hardware has everything you need to get the job done right. From tools to paint, plumbing to electrical, and fasteners to lumber, they've got you covered. And the staff is always ready to lend a helping hand and offer helpful advice. So don't wait. Head to JT's Hardware today and make your home improvement dreams a reality. JT's Hardware, your local partner in home improvement, located on Main Street in Poseyville.
At Nick's Industrial, culture is what sets us apart from any other organization in the industry. Our people are not only our greatest asset, we are family. Our people have a mindset of determination for wins, but still believe in staying humble along the way. We all believe in continuous education and put ongoing effort to better ourselves as well as the company. Browse careers and start your journey with Nick's Industrial at nicksindustrial.com.
The winter roads can make your ride look rough, and the salt and grind can wreak havoc on your vehicle. Don't let it do any damage. Get to Billy's Sparkle and Shine, where clean is more than just shine, it's protection. Take advantage of the underbody wash to blast away road salts and protect your vehicle from rust and corrosion. If you want to take it to the next level, check out the Ultimate Wash Package. Not only do you get a full-service wash, but they'll top it off with a premium ceramic coating, the ultimate armor for your car's paint. Protect your ride. Head to Billy's Sparkle and Shine, because your car deserves more than clean. It deserves care. 140 North St. Francis Street in Poseyville.
When it's time for maintenance on your vehicle, make the right choice and visit Poseyville Auto Parts and Service Center. No matter the make or model, they have the right parts at the right price. Let the knowledgeable staff help you find exactly what you need for the job. If you don't want to deal with the mess yourself, then let the Poseyville Service Center take care of you where there's no job too big. Stop in at 39 West Main Street in Poseyville or call 812-874-3113. Open Monday through Friday from 8 until 5 and Saturdays from 8 until noon. Poseyville Auto Parts and Service Center, your one-stop shop for everything automotive.
Kiesel Enterprises is your family-owned and operated agriculture construction business, offering sales, service, and superior construction for all your harvest needs. Kiesel is also home to the popular Country Clipper zero-turn mowers. For over 40 years, our commitment has been providing top-quality products and services to our customers. And we want to thank you and show our appreciation for your confidence in us. For a quote or a product availability, call or stop by Kiesel Enterprises in Princeton, Indiana. 812-386-6580.
Feel that chill? It's your reminder to make sure your furnace is working properly. That means it's time to contact Becker Heating and Air. Save some dough and ask Brad about their Posey County Furnace Service Special. Brad's your go-to expert with 27 years experience servicing and diagnosing all grands. Call soon and schedule your Posey County Service Special with Becker Heating, Air, and Insulation, located on Main Street in Wadesville. Call 812-499-1324.
Since 1916, J.L. Hirsch Company Grocery and Department Store has been servicing the people of Posey County. Whether you're looking for clothing, jewelry, or stocking up on groceries, it's all at J.L. Hirsch Company. And don't forget about the renowned meat department with the best cuts of meat for miles around. Get your North Posey spirit wear at J.L. Hirsch as well. J.L. Hirsch Grocery and Department Store, a Posey County tradition for over 100 years. Open 8 until 5:30 Monday through Saturday. J.L. Hirsch Company on Main Street in Poseyville.
Welcome back to North Posey Vikings Basketball Coaches Show, here with head coach of the girls basketball team, Kevin Kolb. And Coach Kolb, first time getting to chat with you on the air. Pleasure to have you here. And just want to ask you first, how are you settling in your first season at North Posey?
Well, I'm enjoying it. Grateful to be here. Enjoying the community and the camaraderie. And you've got a trade group, your kids, coach, young ladies, coach, and off to a good start so far.
Looks like you guys have a youth league happening here tonight, if you were wondering what all the noise is in the background. So that's certainly got to be an exciting time for you, too, as a coach, getting to work with the youth program.
Oh, definitely. We've got the third grade young ladies in here tonight. They're playing the King from Hopstead.
Okay. There you go. So if you want to come out and watch the basketball, you can watch them tonight at North Posey. But I want to talk a little bit about your season in general. You guys are off to a pretty terrific start. Last year, it seemed like the girls' basketball team had their ups and downs. They had some ups, they had some downs. It was a typical season. But you guys are off to a fast start. I believe just the one loss against Gibson Southern, correct?
That's correct.
So, after you lose to Gibson Southern by just, 4 points off the top of my head, you guys are routed off. Is it
four or five straight wins now. I'm trying to pull the schedule right now. But so you guys are off to a four-game win streak. I think you got to be happy with how your team is playing if you're playing in season.
Definitely. Early on, we really talked about focusing on defense and rebounding. And I know that's cliche, but it's made a difference. And then, got to get into last year. They had some injuries last year. And so if we can stay healthy, we might be able to continue this run. And so that's what we're trying to do, compete every day, no matter who's out there. Just having a deep squad, 7-8 girls that can play at any time, take a couple girls off, and we're not having to drop off like some of the other programs that they're coming right back at.
So the other thing about that, too, is not only did they have some injuries they dealt with last year, the coach, Jessica Shane, she dealt with a lot of youth. She only had one senior. Many freshmen and sophomore playing heavy minutes. Of course, Alyssa Heath was somebody that's a returner for last year. She was a junior last year. Now she's one of your senior leaders. But you're kind of in the similar boat. Alyssa is pretty much the senior leader, and you have a bunch of sophomores and juniors surrounding her. So how has that been a bit of a challenge for you as a coach, but you've still been able to kind of work with it, get a bunch of victories in the early part of the season?
It's been a little bit of a challenge, but Coach Shank did a really good job, and Israel got a lot of experience playing the last couple of years. Some of the losses that they had, they're close games, and they get away from you a little bit at the end because of that experience. And hopefully, we found a way to overcome that. You could see it in the Central game down the stretch where it was a close game, and we had the lead. We were able to eat a minute or two off the clock and then get a layup. And so when you have a young team, sometimes we rush in turnovers or bad shot selection. And we didn't do it in that game. And it's going to pay dividends for us. And hopefully we're able to continue to win that. I'm going to let you back.
So you guys had started off the season with three straight road games. I mentioned the loss at Gibson Southern, defending 3A state champions. 57-53, you guys are in it till the very end. Really had a chance to win that game. And then you get two wins on the road at Wood Memorial and at Mount Vernon before you return home for two games where you won both of those. Now you guys are going to be hitting the road again, heading up to Southridge to face a pretty good ball club led by the Montgomery girl. I can't remember what her first name is, but Avon Montgomery, that's right. But I know whenever I was working with our crew that does video streaming, like I've been with the group for 4 or 5 years now, we did their first game against Princeton. And she was certainly the best player on the floor. I think she's going to pose a bit of a challenge for you guys defensively. But talking to you off the air, it sounds like you've got a pretty good plan.
Yeah. A lot of the girls' programs around the southern half of the state have a lot of temp. The Southridge is no different. They like to slow it down defensively in around 2-3 zone. And then on the offensive end, all things go through Ava. We watched some film today, and we talked about what we're going to try to do to take some of those things away from them and make somebody else make the play on their sheen. I will say that we've got our guards on the perimeter are very good defensively. Valerie Riggs, Ellie Jo Johnson, Addis Mersby, they can all defend at a high level. Alyssa B, they all defend at a very high level. So, when we take one player off the court, we're bringing somebody else back in, and we're not having that drop on. So we're going to keep pressure on our ball.
And in your guys' last game out against Boonville, I got to actually call that one here. It's the first one I got to call for you guys this season. You guys face a pretty good player in Emily Parker. She came out, I think she had 17 points in the first half. She was red hot. And then I think she only scored 5 points in the second half. And I think three of those were in the fourth quarter where the game was already decided. What kind of change for you guys in the locker room at halftime to make that adjustment to get the ball out of her hands and really it threw Boonville's entire offense for a loop in that third quarter?
We've done a pretty good job of guarding the other team's better players this year, making some adjustments and doing the things that we've practiced and carrying, letting those carry over to the game. The Emily Parker girl, she's outstanding. She's going to be coming back to him next year. I think she's a junior this year. She could shoot it really well. And I'd say for the first five possessions, I think she hit a couple of threes and got some open looks. And so it's just not losing contact with it. That when they're setting a screen or hedging that screen, we're fighting over the top of it. She's a good shooter, so you can't go under a Libro. And the same thing's going to go for Ava. We can't go under any screen, small, high, and her step back and shoot those open shots. And those are things we practice, hence we talked about. And then sometimes you got to reemphasize in a half front or, in the case of Emily, I think we put somebody a little taller on her in the second half. It was CD. And that made a difference early in the day. And I think we had Mallory on her. We got hung up in a couple screens. And then, you know, in the post, it was just a mismatch. Mallory's not a post between the. And so they were able to take advantage of some of those things.
So I know that Alyssa Heath gets a lot of good attention. She's your guys' leading scorer. And she's one of the top rebounders. She get one best character players from last season. But who has stood out to you here in the early portion of the season that maybe you didn't expect to be a big time contributor, or maybe they're a bigger contributor than you just expected in general?
So a couple things. Early this summer, I was very impressed with our guard play. You know, we've got very good ball handlers and Ellie Joe and Mallory, Addie Murphy as well, and Alyssa. And then as years went on, they have not fallen off at all, but Ella Weatherholt has, she does everything. She rebounds, she communicates, she's a good passer, and she can score. And she may be an underside post player playing at their back to pass because she's crafty and played well off to her feet. Jasmine Ward and Kylie Bender will come on lately too. Neither one of them started our first game against Gibson Southern. We wanted to get up and down the court, and I thought they were, as far as our team's city, they didn't have what we had. If we have Addie Murphy out there, and I shot the ball well in that game, she, you know, earned playing time. But Jasmine's really been playing well in the paint and being physical. And then Kylie Vender in our last game against Dingo, when she came in, she was very disruptive and turned the tide for us there a little bit. Really, the first half was a battle, and then and she came in. You know, she played in fourth half as well, but in the second half she was disruptive, hit hands on things, and then with our speed, he picked up such huge falls he don't need ever to do.
So it sounds like pretty much it's been a complete team effort.
It has, and that's one of the things we talked about. You know, Matt and Shirley had a triple double when Simcoe came here, 23 points, 14 bounce, and 10 blocks. And Avery Kelly had double digit scoring. But every game, we've had three or four people love it, double digits. And I talked about, you know, we've got girls that can score 25, 30 points if they're selfish. Well, that might not be to a team victory. Not saying the other athletes in the area are being selfish, but that's the way we have to play to win. And they're doing a good job of that. They're sharing the ball. Mine's open. They're getting it. And then if it's your shot, and we talk about what our shots are, shoot it and then be aggressive. And, you know, some of the teams, and you'll see tomorrow night when we watch Southridge, they're benefit zone, Bingo Flay zone, but we're not going to settle for jumpers. We're going to attack the basket, and we're going to get to the ramp and try to get the other team to crouch up there. You know, one thing that we've been able to do that this year is get in the lane and shoot a lot of free throws, but the free throw line has been Achilles heel, if you will. You know, against Wood Memorial, I think we missed three all night. The previous night against Gibson Southern, we shot 50% and shot 24-25 free throws, you know. And so if that percentage is a little higher, we may win that way. And so, you know, same thing goes for Boonville. I think we were 12 to 23. If you make our free throws, that, you know, and the outcome may be the same, but they might not have been the battle that it was there in the first half.
Well, free throws and defense are always, like, as you said, actually when we first started, defense and rebounding, those three things all usually go hand in hand along with turnovers. It all sounds cliche, but they're very important little minor details of each and every basketball game, and can be the difference between a win or loss in a game, whether you're expected to win or not.
Yep. And, you know, our turnover numbers against Central, we were down around 9 or 10, and we talked about that. You know, I tell the girls, we compete on the boards, and we're going to be probably the smaller team every week we play. We don't have the height that some of the other programs have, but they have a lot of team speed, and good ball handling. And so if we compete on the boards, you know, we've got some check marks that we like to get to the free throw line at least 8 times and a half. We get close to that, compete on the boards, and then win the turnover battle, we're going to get into a good spot. So those are key little factors we talk about at half mile. And then, the other day I was talking to him and I said, you know, if we keep our turnovers below 10 every game, it's going to be really tough to us. We'll get shot every game. And so those are things we focus on now. In some of the games, the way it was the Wood Memorial game, and the other night against the Green Bull, we were up around 20 levels. And in the first half, we probably had 12, 15, second half against Green Bull, maybe 3 or 4. And that's when we made the run. And so you got to focus on those things. Now, when you want to play fast, you're kicking the ball ahead and you're keeping your foot on the pedal, there's going to be some sloppy passes in the times. And those are things you work off at, coming up the sideline or riddle into the middle of the court, not making the long stiff class. It can be lazy sometimes. And we cover them at practice. But like you said, we've still got a young team. And we're trying to play fast, and they've got a lot of ball handlers. And so you got to be positive. Like, yeah, just keep that kid on the pedal, keep running hard, and try to make a better decision.
I think that's such an important aspect, especially when you're dealing with high school kids. Because back when I was in high school, and I've seen it, I've been there too as a player, where you make a turnover and you turn over and you automatically feel like, oh man, I'm coming out of the game. I made a big mistake. But to have that instilled confidence in your players, especially as younger sophomores and juniors that are maybe either getting their first taste of varsity action, or maybe that's their second full year of varsity action and they're still kind of new to it. To have that confidence in your players, I think goes a long way, because then that's going to breed other confidence in the areas, maybe where they get more of a steal, or they get a rebound, and they get that, you know, loose ball and really make that turning point in a game.
Yeah, definitely. And I have all the confidence in the gym. And they're at home listening. They already know it. I am a believer. I told them this summer that, you know, we're talking about some of our goals. You know, one of them was not to lose two games in a row this year, and I don't know, it was the piece for a sectional title. And we had a good summer, and we kept things simple. I feel like we keep them simple as far as our play calling is. We don't call a whole lot. We talk about a 3-4 play and a call each game, and we want to get up down the court, and I let the guards call the delay as much of the time. They're familiar with it, and they call it out. Then we're going to rush through and execute. And as far as that goes, you know, and confidence in the team, I definitely have that confidence in them. I believe they have the confidence in themselves. Looking at some of the JV, young ladies that we have, I do see from time to time, and they're being basketball players. We got a lot of freshmen, two sophomores. Occasionally they make a turnover, and we've talked about that. There's no time to hang your head. You got to hustle back on defense, you know. A live ball turnover and a hung head leads to a layup on the other end. And so, you know, you throw the pass out of bounds, got time to walk back. Well, somebody steals a bad pass and you're dreading, they're going to get a layup on the other end. And that will get you off the court. We will be sitting climbing. But if you turn it over and they're playing hard and hustling back, then, you know, we got a chance to set up our defense and keep them from scoring. And, well, JV basketball, as much as we want to win, it's player development. Mm-hmm. Keep your head up, keep working hard. And those girls have come a long way since the beginning of the season, from the summer as well. We've got some talent there. We've got some size, too, that's really come a long way. And so I'm excited about, you know, what the future holds, not just this season and not next year, but 3 or 4 years down the road. I think we're in a good spot.
Yeah, I think you got to be happy with that, especially if you're seeing the strides from some of these newer players. You're saying freshman and sophomore that might be playing, you know, high level basketball for the first time or only a couple years into it. So with that being said, too, and I know you know this, you've been coaching for a while. The goal is always to have the team playing the best basketball when it comes tournament time. And it seems like you guys are off to such a good start. And I like the fact that you said that one of your guys' goals is to not lose back-to-back games. And that's a huge thing, because if you can not win back-to-back games, you're going to increase your likelihood to win 3 in a row, potentially, which means you're going to increase your likelihood to win a section. And certainly that's got to be a big goal for you guys, is try to win that section championship. And it starts with making sure your team is sharp and confident going into tournament time, which, again, I know is a couple months away, but the season gets over before you quit.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's our goal is and we've talked about this, and, you know, I'm very confident. I want these words to be believers. This summer, our goal was to compete for a sectional, and it still is. But I told them we got to raise the bar high. We went to Gibson Southern, him being state champions, first thing was season off the road, had a big lead, hit some free throws, and then got some dynamic talent that came back and got us. We played with Memorial at their house the second game, and they competed for a state title last year. We were able to hold on to that one. For Central, Rick Lanon competed for a state title. We were able to get that one. They've got Washington coming in here on Thursday, tomorrow night. We go to Southridge for 4-0 in our conference. But we feel we match up really well with these teams. And all these teams are competing for state titles and talking about it in their program. And we need to start talking about it in this group. Like, we've got a lot of talent, and I don't think it's arrogance. I've been coaching for a long time. We're tough to keep up with. we're going to come at you for the full 32 minute. And I know our girls this summer, I want to press whether we're up 40 or down 40, it's a mentality. And I feel like right now, again, if we stay healthy, we have the athletes to do that across the problem. And hopefully you can continue to do that and stay healthy and continue to play as a team. And as long as we can talk about selfishness pre-men and everybody sure is involved, and they're going to have any night where I have three or four girls with figures.
And that's something to prepare for.
It certainly seems like you guys have the personnel, and certainly seems like the confidence is the big part of it. You want to make sure you have a confident ball club, and it seems like it starts with you and it ends with you, and you certainly seem to carry that with you, trying to set such lofty goals, and I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I think it's actually something we need more in high school sports.
Yeah, you know, I do this because I enjoy it, but they're playing basketball because they enjoy it. And if we came out here and we set limitations on ourselves, then we're not going to be enjoying this. And so they want to come out here and they're getting to work as a team and set some goals, try to knock them down and set new ones. And so, you know, so far as a program, we've got one loss this year. There's some things we had to tidy up, and we're still working on those. And then free throw shooting. Hopefully, you know, when it's sectional time, it doesn't come around to bite us. And turnovers, yeah, I would play fast, and hopefully we can limit those and pins around to tournament time as well. And the rest of it is just about competing on each possession and keeping their chin up, because in a lot of our games this year, and the central games no different. I go to the ladies at halftime, you know, initially we had a big lead in the first quarter, had some foul trouble, called press off. And Central went on around, had a lead against us at half arm. Yeah, and it was a 1-point lead. And I told them at the half, yeah, somebody's going to go on around in the second half. And it's going to be a 6 or 7 point run. And one of the coaches is going to call timeout. And depending on how you respond coming out of that timeout, then it's going to be the difference in the game. And so we could hang our head, and it was 7 point lead turn into 14, and the game's gotten away from us. Or we can keep fighting and cut into it with a bit. Well, take the new to one that fell behind 6-7 points since we're running on a run. I call timeout. We're talking about to either tough for a team or keep attacking and then settle for jumpers. And then we go on a 7-point run right after that and tie the game. And Central calls timeout. And then it was good to see not only once something we talked about at HatCon, but then them to realize, okay, we just talked about this and just discussed it, and then they came out and executed and got us right back in game and played well the rest of the way the whole way.
Well, it's certainly good to see that level of fortitude in your squad, and certainly good to see the results you've had here in the early going. So appreciate you joining me here this afternoon or this evening. Good luck tomorrow night at Southridge. I'll see you here on Thursday when you guys are playing the Washington Hatchets, because you have two very formidable ball clubs coming this week. But certainly you've got a formidable one on your own.
Yep, thank you very much.
So that's Coach Kevin Kolb. Again, you'll be able to listen to the game tomorrow night at Southridge right here on 98.9 WPIW. Chris Moreland will have the call that one. It'll be a 7 o'clock tip time. Varsity, again, proximate, depending on how the JV game goes. But 7 o'clock central time, tip time right here on 98.9 WPIW. We will talk to you again tomorrow night.
You've been listening to North Posey Vikings basketball on 98.9 WPIW and NorthPoseyRadio.com. This broadcast has been brought to you by Expressway Chevrolet, the Posey County Co-op, Crane Credit Union, Posey Storage, Expressway Jeep, JT's Hardware, Billy's Sparkle and Shine, Nick's Industrial, and the Poseyville Auto Parts and Service Center. Stay up to date with North Posey Sports on your home of the Vikings, 98.9 WPIW.